I want to invite you tonight to turn in your Bibles, if you would, to the book of 1 Timothy chapter 3 this evening. 1 Timothy chapter 3, and just bringing up here a presentation that we're going to share with you this evening, and I trust will be a help. I know that many of you are looking forward to and eager for what I have to say this evening. And I was just reviewing in my mind a little bit today, the last several weeks, and it has been a wild ride. It was exactly 9 weeks ago today that we had our last public assembly as a church here in this building. So just over 2 months have passed. That was on March the 15th. On that Sunday morning during the Sunday school hour, I addressed the subject of pandemic panic. And I was just looking back over my notes and some of our thought process at that time. Of course, the day following March the 15th, things really got taken off in our country and in our state, with our president giving a press conference, and then followed by that shortly our governor giving a press conference, and the endeavor in our country and here in our state to, as they said, flatten the curve of a very contagious and novel coronavirus. And certainly as we look back over the last 9 weeks, a lot of things have changed in our lives. Some things haven't changed, other things have changed. And I'm thankful that by all appearances, we did flatten the curve, although it is sad that many became ill and died. And it is a tragedy. My understanding of the statistics in Pennsylvania is that upwards of 70% of those who died of this virus were people who lived in personal care homes, nursing homes, and there's a lot of political things attached to that, which I'm sure you're reading about in the news, and all of that will get hashed out as the days go forward. But what a terrible, terrible situation, and it's terrible to hear of people passing away. I am thankful, though, at this time it seems that the numbers are declining, and it seems that the seriousness of this has peaked here in our state and in our area, although it still continues on. And as we look back over the last several weeks, we've tried to follow the recommendations from the state, and since that original 15 days to flatten the curve, the goalposts have been consistently and constantly moved, with the last proclamation from our governor, Governor Wolf, being that in the, as he designated them, red areas, which Lehigh County is one of those areas, the stay-at-home orders would last until at least June the 4th, which is still quite a ways in the future. And so as I began thinking about that, and with the end of the stay-at-home orders in sight, I want to begin speaking to the church about a plan for returning to assembly as a church family. This is what I'm going to share with you tonight is the result of a lot of prayer and seeking of counsel from attorneys, from our insurance agent, from other pastors, looking at what other churches are doing and trying to plan appropriately, even from our state officials, and trying to understand what is expected and what will be enforced and so on and so forth. And so what I'm going to share with you tonight, I trust, is a wise plan, subject to change as everything has been over the last 9 weeks. Who knows what will happen, but this is our best guess at how we see things moving forward. And, you know, one of the things that concerns me is that now some governors in some states are floating the idea that stay-at-home orders should stay in place until a vaccine is available, which by the best estimates of professionals in the industry, they're guessing at least 12 to 18 months, which seems quite unsustainable, not only for businesses, but also for New Testament churches. Because the word church means assembly. It means that we gather together. And you should be there in 1 Timothy chapter 3, verse number 15, which I'm going to read as we begin tonight. The Bible says, "But if I tarry long, that thou mayest know how thou oughtest to behave thyself in the house of God, that's the New Testament church, which is the church of the living God, the pillar and ground of the truth. We've heard a lot of talk over the last 9 weeks about essential and non-essential things to our life. If there is anything that is essential to the lives of Americans tonight, it is the New Testament church, which the Lord Jesus Christ says is the pillar and ground of the truth. And we look at the great need of a church, and I want to say tonight, I don't regret what we've done. I wish it didn't have to happen. It certainly has made ministry very difficult. I'm very thankful for the communication tools that have made it possible for us to stay in touch through live stream and other means, the telephone, Facebook. There's different things that we have gotten involved in as a church through this time. For instance, I don't regret the number of people who have been contacted through our Facebook outreach and are currently doing Bible studies that God is working in. You may or may not be aware of this, but this morning we had three visiting families in our parking lot service, and there's some things that God is doing. And so we're thankful for those things, and we're grateful. However, it is also true that in order to be a church, we have to assemble. And it's important for us to be able to get together. And though live stream is a wonderful thing during a time like this, it's not the same as assembling together. It's not the same as being here in person. And I just appreciated even this morning, again, at the parking lot service, seeing so many of you as you drove by and said hello, and we tried to social distance and all of that sort of thing, but it was good to see so many of your faces and speak with you face to face. And that is an important part of being a New Testament church. And because of this, and because of the truth that is found in 1 Timothy chapter 3 and verse number 15, that the church is the pillar and ground of the truth, I'm really anxious to begin moving towards the important function as a church of assembling together. We are the house of the Lord here in Emmaus. We're God's people, and it is imperative that we would begin gathering together. Of course, you know, much of the separation, social distancing, and all of this sort of thing was done in an effort to preserve people's physical health. And physical health is important. But what has also been spoken about during this time, even by people who are unsaved, is the aspect of people's mental and emotional health. And I would add to that their spiritual health, great spiritual needs. For instance, I conducted a funeral service this last week. It is so difficult to conduct a service for people who are grieving and everybody's wearing masks and not able to communicate with their face, and even the number of people are limited. You know, these things are difficult, and I was speaking with the funeral director about how difficult it is for people to grieve during this time and to get closure at a time like this. It's a very difficult time. Then I think about the spiritual needs. Brethren, we have many in our church right now that are hurting, many that are struggling spiritually, many that are going through deep trials, and it's not good for us to be alone. And so we want to begin working towards gathering together again. With that in mind, I want to invite you now to turn to the book of Mark, chapter 12. Mark, chapter 12. And the first thing that we want to speak about tonight, as we talk about a couple of things, and we'll get to the practicality of this in a little bit, but the first thing that I really want to talk to you about is our attitude in all of this. And we need to be so careful. I want to give some cautions to you about our attitude in this situation, because frankly, what we've been living through for the last 9 weeks has really thrown a lot of us for a curve. It's really turned our world upside down, and I'm starting to see on social media in particular, a lot of the anger and frustration that people have is beginning to be vented. And there's a lot of, for instance, there's a lot of conspiracy theories that are floating around. There's a lot of conjecture about who is responsible and all this sort of thing. And I think we need to just press the pause button as God's people and really check our attitude and make sure that we don't wrap ourselves up in things that are counterproductive. our perspective is going to be very critical in determining what we do and how we do it. Now notice in Mark chapter 12, verse 30, the Lord Jesus is speaking about the great commandment, and he said there in verse 30, "Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, and with all thy soul, and with all thy mind, and with all thy strength. This is the first commandment. And the second is like, namely this, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. There is none other commandment greater than these." And I want to speak to you just for a moment about the importance of us loving God. Our attitude ought to be a love for God. I hope that during these last 9 weeks, you haven't lost your fervency and your passion and your love for God. But, you know, when you're out of the assembly and you're missing that element of fellowship, it can affect your spiritual life. It can affect your walk with God. Our first and foremost priority as the people of God ought always to be God's pleasure. We should love Him and we should desire to honor Him. And I remind you that the Lord's church is a place where our Heavenly Father receives worship. And therefore, the church should be a priority for us. One of the dangers that I see about the 9 weeks that has transpired is, to be honest with you, live streaming services is kind of convenient in some ways. You can kind of, you know, slide into your living room in your jammies while you're sipping on a cup of coffee, or if it's not convenient for your schedule, you can say, "I'll catch up to the service later. You know, I'm doing other things." And if we're not careful, our love for God can start to take a back seat to the things that are pressing upon us, the things that we think, "Well, I'd like to do that, and I can fit in church in another place." When we love the Lord, we find that God places a strong priority on a New Testament church, and we should as well. It's not reasonable for us to adopt an attitude that we can be successful Christians without the assembly, amen, without gathering together. We need to be able to assemble one with another. So we need to have our love for God in the right place. That's very important. The second thing that we want to consider here is in verse 31, and that's the second commandment, which Jesus says is like the first. That what that means is that when we love God properly, the first commandment, the second commandment will naturally go along with it. And when we're not performing the second commandment, it's because the first commandment is out of place. The second commandment that God wants us to understand, that the Lord Jesus Christ communicated, is love thy neighbor as thyself. We need to love our neighbors as ourselves. And part of the reason that we made a decision to step away from the assembly in a public manner and as a group for a period of time is because of exactly this, because of our love for our neighbors. There are several aspects that we could consider when we think about the love that we have for our neighbors. I think part of this is an honor that we should have for authority. And I do want to hasten to say, though I don't agree with all the decisions that have been made by governmental officials, I do believe that, at least in the very beginning of this, there was not some kind of a heavy-handed approach where government officials were trying to restrict religious liberty and keep people from assembling in churches. We really didn't see that. We saw a broad-based application of the law that pertain to any public assembly, any public groups, ball games. I mean, just think about the billions of dollars that were completely canceled in our culture in basketball, football, the upcoming baseball season, on and on. And as God's people, let's be careful not to say, you know, the government is after us as churches. Now, are there some local officials? Are there some places where that's happening? Well, it seems like that could be happening in some places. By the way, I don't believe that's the case in Pennsylvania, and I'll explain that to you in a little bit. However, we should still try to honor authority. Even if we disagree with what they're doing and the decisions that they are making, we should do our very best to honor authority as long as they're not asking us to disobey God. I'm going to say this as nicely as I can. Griping about the government is not nearly as effective as praying for your leaders. And we have a tendency to gripe about the things that we don't like. I'm telling you tonight, I'm confessing to you, there are some things I don't like. There are some things I don't care for, and I've probably griped through this situation my fair share, as perhaps some of you have as well. But I want to remind you that we should be praying for our leaders. We should be praying for them to make wise decisions, and we should do our very best to honor authority. The second thing that we take into consideration is when we love our neighbor, we want to make sure that we have a good testimony for those who are unsaved. We want to make sure that those who do not know the Lord see our testimony, and as we saw in the Sunday school lesson, which I hope you had time to work through yesterday or today, the scripture study session there in Philippians chapter 1, verses 28 and 29, that our life, our conversation should be becoming to the gospel of Christ. We should be careful about our attitude. We should be careful. Can I just say this? We should be careful about what we're saying on social media. We should be careful about how we're communicating, because those who are unsaved, who follow your page, who follow your posts, they're looking at your Christianity and they're lining up these other things that you're saying, and they're looking at that. How's your testimony? We want to be a good testimony to the lost. We don't want to either do things that would make people afraid or cause them to think that we're being reckless or somehow endangering their health. Listen, some weeks ago at the beginning of this, we received a call from a lady who needed some assistance. She needed someone to pick up some prescriptions. And I'm going to tell you tonight, she was terrified. She was absolutely terrified. She has an immune condition. Her mom has an immune condition. And she couldn't figure out how to get her prescriptions. And I went to the store and picked those things up for her, brought them. And I called her on the phone. And she said, I'm sorry, but I don't even want to talk to you. I don't even want to see you. I'm afraid. So just, you know, put it in the mailbox. And I did. I put it in the mailbox. You know, it would have been really, really not loving my neighbor for me to have said, you know, bless God, she just needs to face the facts and march up to her porch and knock on her door and say, here's your package. I mean, you need to stop being so afraid. Why would I do something like that? Here's a woman who is afraid, who is concerned. And the Lord allowed me then to call her on the phone and to pray with her and to hear about some of the concerns on her heart. And I trust God will use that in her life. You know, we should be careful about our testimony. We should be careful not to be reckless or endangering to others and not conveying that. The third thing about loving our neighbor is we should be careful to prefer our brother. And here, I want you to listen very carefully to what I'm saying. The way that COVID-19 has been handled is full of political nuance. There is no doubt that there is a political side of this on both sides of the political aisle that is being hammered and is being used for political purposes. And we need to be very, very careful. I have opinions. I'm positive that you have opinions, but I don't know that there's any of us that fully understand this situation. I'm not sure that any of us fully understand all that is going on, and I believe that we should be very careful about compromising our testimony for Christ or offending a brother in Christ by taking some kind of a strident and angry position on either side of this issue. This is not something that we need to be fighting about, especially in the assembly. For instance, some of the brothers and sisters in our church are more cautious about this. Some folks have talked to me, and you are quite content to stay at home. You look at how things are playing out, and you say, I'm going to stay home and listen to the authorities, and I'm going to be careful, and you are being very cautious. And that's your perspective. We have other people in the church who you don't think there's any reason to be cautious at all. Some of you think that the entire virus is nothing but a government scam, and it was all made up, and it's not even real. And I don't think that's necessarily a reasonable viewpoint, but some folks really feel strongly about that. And you've got your opinions. But you know what, brethren? We need to be careful about bringing those kind of discussions into a place where they would harm our relationship with other brothers and sisters in Christ. This is not a biblical issue. This is not something that we can turn to chapter and verse and say, here is why I have this position. We're all subject to the information that is being given to us. And I will hasten to say that has been one of the most frustrating things about this whole situation is figuring out who to believe and what to trust. And so let's be really careful to prefer our brother. This political issue has the potential to cause division between brethren, and that would be a terrible shame. It would cause a shame and a blot to the cause of Christ if somehow it caused a division between you and a brother or sister in Christ that are members of the same church. And so let's be really careful to not only love God, but also to love our neighbor. Now, before we move on to the next thought, in light of this, I understand that what I'm about to present about our plan and our proposed idea for getting back to assembly is going to be too aggressive for some of you. Some of you are going to think, whoa, Pastor really needs to slow down. He's going too fast. Others of you are going to say, why is he taking so long? He needs to hurry up and get this process moving. And I want you to understand that I am doing my best, and I'll talk about this in a minute. I'm doing my best to balance both of those perspectives. And it's important for you to understand that there are other perspectives than your own. And so there's our attitude. But now let's talk a little bit about our approach. And this won't take very long because some of it is repetitious from our attitude. What we have tried to do over the last 9 weeks is, first of all, we have tried to obey and honor authority. I think we have done our very best in this area. We have tried so hard to be respectful to the authority. I have tried to be careful not to speak in a disparaging or dishonoring way about those who are making decisions, even though I don't necessarily agree with all of those decisions. Now, this is in spite of the fact that the goalposts seem to be constantly moving, and we do have somewhat of a lack of understanding concerning who to trust. But we are doing our best to obey and honor authority. We want to make sure, and I'm speaking specifically about civil authorities, we're trying to obey those who are in authority over us. For instance, I'll just give you a personal illustration. I know some of you aren't wild about wearing masks. I'm not wild about wearing masks. I find them to be incredibly inconvenient and uncomfortable. But if I go to the store and there's a sign posted that says, wear a mask, it's respectful to wear a mask. It's respectful of the property of the person who is there, who has said we should do this, as well as the governmental authorities. And again, I'm sure you have your opinions. You can, you know, all the different sides and nuances of this, but it's not going to kill me to wear a mask. It's just an inconvenience, and therefore I can honor authority in that way. And that's something that I can do. Second of all, we have been trying to meet the spiritual needs of our congregation. And this has been, I will say, a difficult, difficult task. There have been a number of trials that some in our church are going through. Some of those you're aware of and some of those you are not. But as we think about the importance of meeting the needs of the flock, there's a great need to care for those who are hurting and to shepherd the sheep. I have found it necessary, for instance, to make personal visits, to be in people's homes at times, to care for their needs. This in spite of, you know, some of the things that are said about the danger of that. But the truth is that there are deep emotional and spiritual needs that people have, which are just as or even more important than their physical health. And not all of these needs can be fully satisfied using a webcam or phone or email. It's just not possible. And so there are times that we have to think about the fact that there is a higher calling than our safety and convenience. we could say it would be safer for us to stay in our homes for the next 2 years. I don't think that's reasonable, or I don't think anybody really thinks that's even possible, but you know, some people are willing to do that. But understand that there are greater needs than just avoiding a virus or avoiding some bacteria. And so we have to meet spiritual needs. We've preached for a long time, and we still believe that it's not sustainable to be a church without assembling. It's been 9 weeks. We can't continue much longer without assembling, without there being harm to people's spiritual lives. It's important for people to get together. Many of you have communicated this to me. It's important to see one another face to face. It's important to talk with one another, to share in fellowship around the things of the Lord. Also, fourth of all, we have obtained a clearer understanding of, and you see there on the slide, the state restrictions versus the state recommendations. And let me just dwell on that for a moment so that there is no misunderstanding about this. We do, in Lehigh County, reside in an area which is currently labeled by our governor as a red region. And because of that, some of you may be under the impression that it is a little bit risque, a little bit pushing the line, a little bit possibly illegal for us to have services. But that would actually be a false impression. It is perfectly legal for us to have services as a church. It would even be legal for us to assemble just like we did before all of this happened. Now, out of an abundance of caution, we're not going to rush back to that. We're going to take our time and be careful. But as far as the law, what has been communicated by the state of Pennsylvania, and this really became clear to me this last week, really clear, is that though they are recommending some things for churches, they are not restricting churches. And the reason for that is because of the constitutional right that we have as citizens to assemble, and they're trying to be careful. And I'm very thankful for that. Some states, they are not being as careful about that. But I'm thankful that our state government recognizes the importance of churches and recognizes that they should not restrict the assembly of these churches. Now, they have recommended that churches should be careful, that they should exercise caution. They have recommended during this time that they would use live stream type approaches like we have done for the safety of their congregants, but they have not gone as far as restricting churches. That's because in the state of Pennsylvania, at least, churches are considered to be essential to life. So we have the opportunity to find ways to carry out our mission in the same way that your local Walmart is considered essential to life and has not been shut down. Your grocery store, because they sell food that you need. The state of Pennsylvania has said churches fulfill an important and essential task, and we want them to be able to continue operating. And so we're thankful for that because that gives us some liberty. Also, legal counsel is emerging for churches here in our state with a better understanding of what is advisable and what would be foolish. There are some variables based on a lot of different factors, such as the location of the church, the facility that you meet in, the congregation size, the average age of the congregation, et cetera, et cetera. And so all of these things should be considered and weighed. And I will say that though the state has not restricted churches, the language was confusing enough, and I think probably on purpose, to really communicate a message that they did not want churches to assemble, while they didn't go as far as saying we are restricting churches, if that makes sense to you. The fifth thing about our approach, what we've been trying to do is, we've been trying to balance the differing perspectives of our members. As I've already mentioned, we have members who are very much gung-ho, let's get back together, forget it, let's just assemble, I have no problem, I'm not afraid. We have other members who are much more cautious, who have been on the front lines of the medical side of this, who see some of the danger and are concerned about a real virus that exists that has sickened some people and is something for us to be concerned about. And so I'm trying to balance those things, balance the speeds at which everyone wants to go. And so that's a little bit about our approach. Now, let's get to the practical side of this, our action. And I've laid this out for you tonight like a baseball diamond, because our goal is to get to home. And home is assembling together with all of us here, and we're looking forward to getting to home. You know, right now, we're at first base. And maybe you've understood that in the past couple of weeks, we've made a couple of changes by being able to start meeting in the parking lot in our cars for those of you who are able and willing to come. It's not the best, it's not the greatest, but it's better. And at least we can see each other, and we can have a service and assemble, and you can honk amen and that sort of thing. We have live streaming. So it's not like we've stopped being a church. It's not like we've completely stopped our ministry. I'm thankful for that. But at this point, we've been at this place, at first base, for the last couple of weeks, and I'm anxious to get to second base. And second base, which will take a little more time to explain, I believe we're ready to go to second base next Sunday morning for our AM service. And the difference in that service is going to be, we will be having a parking lot service, just like we did this morning, and the FM transmitter will be in place, and so you'll be welcome to sit in your car and listen to the message that way. I'll be preaching from the platform out between the flagpoles where I was this morning. We'll also have our live stream for those of you who are not yet ready to venture out of your houses. You're not yet ready to come on the property. The difference will be next week, we're going to encourage people, if you feel comfortable doing so and you want to, bring some lawn chairs with you, and we'll encourage you to sit up, to set up in the circle area, the circle drive area, with your lawn chairs outside, observing social distancing, and listen to the message. The Sunday PM service next week and the Wednesday PM service will be via live stream. But we will open up for people, if you want, to bring a lawn chair. Now listen, if you're not comfortable with that, fine. Stay in your car, no problem. If you're not comfortable coming in your car, stay at home and tune into the live stream. We understand that people are going at different speeds with how they're adopting. Some folks have underlying conditions, which make them a stronger candidate for getting this virus. We are not putting pressure on anyone. We understand. So please, but we are going to make it possible for you at that point to bring your lawn chair, sit with your family. We do need to be careful about social distancing, that sort of a thing. Let's pay attention to those things. We're also going to make sure that the bathrooms are open next Sunday for emergencies. Now, please don't send your kids in and let them run through the building and play and that sort of thing. But if you have an emergency and you need to use the bathroom, the bathrooms will be open. We'll be asking, requesting that you follow all social distancing protocols, and we hope that you'll be careful to do that. You say, I don't have lawn chairs. We'll try to have a few chairs available for those who don't have lawn chairs. But the reason that we don't want to just set up a bunch of chairs is because whatever you sit in, we have to clean. And so that's a lot of extra work. And so if you can bring a lawn chair and take it back home with you, that will be good. I would see us being at second base for a little while here. I think probably for a couple of weeks we'll be at this place. Now, so far, the weather has been cooperative, and that'll be the big factor with this, is if we have a rainy Sunday morning, then we would just need to punt back to stay in your cars, and we would I would move under the canopy and preach, and you would be able to hear the message in your car via the FM transmitter or via live stream. And so that's the plan right now. Next Sunday in the AM service, we're proposing, by the way, the weather looks good right now, and hopefully it'll hold, all right? So we're looking forward to that. We'll do that for a couple of weeks, and we'll see how that goes. All right, third base, which I don't have a time frame yet worked out for this. I would hope that by mid-June, at the latest, we would be at this point. But who knows how things are going to go. But third base for us, we'll announce as we get closer a date when we're going to start this, is when we're going to move indoors for our service. And at that time, what we're going to try to do, and there's a rule of thumb that we've come across, which is used in commercial businesses that are essential to life. And that is that they try to use a rule of thumb of about 50% of the capacity, of the full capacity of the facility, which is why you go to a store and in some places they're having people line up and they're keeping track of how many are in the store and how many are going out, and then they let some people in. I know some stores aren't paying any attention to that, and that's neither here nor there. We've gone through the auditorium, done some figuring. We've thought about social distancing, and the 6-foot number is actually harder than you think it is to maintain in an auditorium. And we've put a number on the auditorium. We can seat in a limited capacity in here, observing social distancing, about 150 people. If we stay in family units and we observe social distancing, about 150 people can fit in the auditorium. On a typical Sunday morning before all this started, we would have just north of 300 people in our morning service. And so taking into account that there will be some folks not yet ready to come out for a live service and be in the auditorium, I believe that it's reasonable that we can encourage people using a sign-up to be able to say, I would like to be in the AM service or I would like to be in the PM service, and you would need to choose AM or PM and live stream the other. And we'll talk about another possibility, but that way it would give others an opportunity to come and be in a service with the assembly and for the preacher to have somebody to preach to. We will also continue doing at the same time the FM transmitter. So let's say, for instance, you wanted to come and be in the service for the morning service, but you wanted to come back and wave to some folks. You could sit in your car, listen to the service, wave to folks as they're coming out, say hello, and that sort of a thing. And the FM transmitter will still be active at that time. Our live stream will also be going if you prefer to stay home. During this time at third base, there will be no classes, no children's classes. That means that all the children will be in the services. We understand what that means. There will be more disruptions than normal. Parents, you'll just have to be tuned into that. We're really not concerned about the disruptions as much as we're concerned about let's get back together as a church. And so we're excited about that. We're not going to have Sunday school yet because we meet in small groups for our Sunday school. And so we want to wait a little bit longer. Third base is not yet the time to start back up with our, for instance, our Bible discovery groups. At this time, we'll have certain mitigating measures in place. We'll be asking folks to continue observing social distancing. We'll be doing extra sanitizing between all services. We will be encouraging people not to visit inside of the church building, but to exit the building and to do all of your socializing outside in the open air, observing social distancing. We will not have a meet and greet time. And one of the challenges of third base, which we're still working on, is exactly how to dismiss people. Because while we can social distance in the auditorium, it's a lot more challenging in the foyer and going through the doorways. And so we're working on a plan to be able to dismiss people in an orderly fashion. That's why we're saying we want to encourage you to go outside during third base stage here. We want you to go outside to do your visiting. You say, what are we going to do if it rains? I don't know. Go home and hope you can visit next week, or call each other on the phone, or stand in the rain with an umbrella and visit. But we're just going to have to, you say, I wish there was a better way. I do too. But this is how it is. When we get to third base, we're hopeful that we can at least assemble together with a partial group. Home. We want to get home. And I have there on the slide, home will be whatever our new normal is. I have no idea. I have no idea what our lives will look like once we go back to normal, but I do have a feeling that we may never go back to normal, in the sense that things may be different in our country for a long time, and that is going to have an effect on how we assemble. However, at that point, when we get home and we're all able to assemble, and that's really what we mean there, we'll be back to full capacity in the auditorium. At that time, we'll restore our children's classes, we'll restore our Bible discovery groups, and we'll try to get things back to normal. I'm really hopeful that we will be seeing ourselves in this stage by late summer. And perhaps that will be the case. Perhaps that's how things will play out. I don't know the timetable for this. We'll try to announce it as we get closer. We will still have some mitigating factors. It's likely that some of those will still exist. For instance, I foresee that we'll still be trying to do extra sanitizing between services and make sure that surfaces are extra clean, that sort of a thing, and we'll need some help with that. The live stream, of course, is going to continue at this point, and for some of you who have a underlying condition, health conditions, by that time, you still may not be comfortable coming out to live services, and we understand, and we want to encourage you. Now, I do want to encourage you, though, not to operate in fear, but to really try to approach this in faith, to try to understand the importance of the assembly, but at the same time, for those with underlying health conditions and that sort of thing, it may be difficult for you at that point still to return, and we certainly understand that. Along the way, whether it's first, second, third, or home plate, can I just encourage you, if you're running a fever, if you're sick, please stay home and just live stream. Please be careful not to bring something into the assembly, especially if you don't know exactly what it is. If you have some sort of an underlying condition, which means that you have some sort of a weakness in your immune system, please be careful. Exercise caution. You probably should not be coming to the services in that condition until at least the time that we get to home plate. You should be very careful. We want to respect those who have those kind of conditions, and we certainly don't want anyone to get sick. By the way, home, when we get home, that's when we're going to have a big party. And we're looking forward to the big party, because some of you have been talking to me about this big party, and you're saying, but wait a second, I'm not going to be ready to come yet, and how are we going to do that if we're not all able to be together? We're not. We're going to wait until we get home. And we're looking forward to that time of fellowship, really looking forward to what the Lord will do in all of that. So we laid all that out for you. I hope it's clear to you. And we'll try to keep you abreast and make announcements as we go along about the timing. But for now, what you need to remember is next Sunday for our morning service, you're welcome to bring lawn chairs from your house and set them up in the circle area. We'll have that area coned off to keep traffic from coming in there. You probably want to wear some sunglasses, maybe bring your sunscreen. And don't wear your swimming trunks, though. Come dressed up for church, and we'll look forward to worshiping together. And for those of you who are not ready for that, you're welcome to stay in your cars or live stream, no problem. And we trust that that service will be a blessing. Let me say a word about Wednesday night upcoming, just a couple days from now. Our Wednesday night service this week is slated as our prayer service, our special prayer emphasis. And Brother George is going to be doing a video to share with the church family with some current prayer needs and some things that have happened in their ministry since the last time he gave an update. And so you'll want to stay tuned for that. And we are encouraging you on Wednesday night, this Wednesday night, we're encouraging you to come in your vehicles. I will be giving a short challenge at the very beginning of the service at 7 o'clock. We're not going to have singing. We're just going to have a short devotional, and then we're going to encourage you to go to prayer. So we want you to come to park and pray. We're going to have a short time of challenge from the Scriptures about prayer, and then we're going to encourage you to go to prayer. Now, you're welcome to stay in your car and pray with your family. You're also welcome to bring a lawn chair and to, we have a large grounds here. The weather's supposed to be nice. Maybe you want to get together and pray with a brother or sister in Christ. Keep your chairs 6 feet apart and gather in a circle and pray. You can do that outside, certainly, and you're welcome to do that if you have somebody that you want to spend some time praying with. And I would love to see our church family scattered across the church grounds, spending time in prayer and seeking the face of God. And one of the things that we're going to be praying about is, Lord, hasten the day that we can get to home plate, that we can be assembled back together. And I'm excited that we're starting to move in a direction of getting back together, excited for what God will do. But let's be careful to continue being patient. Let's continue to remember the mission that God has given to us. And let's remember that we need to keep first things first. And there's great opportunities that are abounding all around us right now for preaching the gospel. A lot of people are still very concerned as a result of this coronavirus. It's caused them to think about issues of eternity. And they're thinking about where they're going to spend eternity. God is working in people's lives. Let's be aware of that. Let's be tuned into that. And let's be looking for those opportunities to be witnesses for Christ. And so I'm excited about the opportunity to assemble together. I trust you are as well. If you have any questions or concerns about what we've talked about tonight, please feel free to reach out to me via email. You can reach me at my cell phone. You can call the office, and that will get forwarded to me. And I'll be glad to answer any questions or concerns that you may have. But we're excited about what the Lord is going to do to bring us back together.